My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about the Vince Gilligan universe, not including Pluribus. At the moment.
Yeah, that's coming out soon. That really snuck up on me.
It looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen anything. I have not watched the like teaser trailer or anything like that.
I did. Looks good.
Okay.
Cool. Impossible to see Ray Seahorn not as,
as Kim. Yeah.
As Kim. So.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. This week we're talking about the season finale. We're talking about Marco, an episode that was written and directed by Peter Gould, originally aired on April the 6th of 2015.
Yeah. This is the season finale. And what we're doing is following Jimmy, the aftermath of Jimmy falling out with Chuck.
Yeah.
You know, he's holding it together until he can't at Bingo anymore. He returns to Chicago to reunite with his old grifting partner, Marco, and try to return to his old life. Mm-hmm. The life does not fit.
No. He kind of gets he gets a preview of what would have waited for him down that line.
Yes. That is surprisingly like Old Testament-y or like Ghost of Christmas Future-y.
Yeah, yeah.
Marco, great character. Mm-hmm. You know, name the episode after. We all love Marco. Marco exists entirely to be a cautionary tale, to be a goofus.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy, Marco's life. Marco has just been in stasis to teach Jimmy this lesson.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I've ever seen a character that is as much a tool as Marco right. is.
Yeah. Poor guy. Marco, we met in whatever teaser it was. I forget which episode, where they were doing the wallet scam, the wallet and yes. Rolex scam with the wolf howling, which we're going to see reprised here.
Mm-hmm. Dark reprise.
Yes.
At the end of the album.
Yes. This is another part of the origin story for Saul.
Mm-hmm.
It cements the character. Cements for him that Slip and Jimmy is not going to go away. This is where he gets the pinky ring that is haunted and tells him to do bad things.
Yeah. That is the spirit of Marco.
Uh-huh. Come on, Jimmy.
Dr. Mark bears. And it's a thing. His old life doesn't fit. His old small time scam life doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
Big time scam life fits.
Yes.
You know, it's Slip and Jimmy isn't going away, but it's on a grander scale. He's going to slip the world.
He's you know? or at least the humble addicts of the United States.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, just this idea that he gave up that money.
Yes.
You know, could have had this thing. Mm-hmm. A little abrupt for a finale, and then we're gonna go into the, you know, the seasons of saber rattling
mm-hmm.
seasons, you know. So a little abrupt. Marco's great. All the scenes with Marco were fun. It's very sad. Heartbreaking. Yeah. There is some production trivia we're going to talk about as it comes up. So we're going to get right into it with this cold open.
Yeah. We are in a flashback very shortly after the jail scene where Chuck came and, you know, kind of read Jimmy the riot act about how much trouble he's in. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Marco is at a bar in Cicero running a solo game against these two college kids. Little physics puzzle, like, can you remove this $20 bill from under the stack of four quarters on top of a beer bottle without disturbing the quarters?
Yeah, bar bets.
Yeah.
You know, things you can do for free drinks mm-hmm. in bars if you're, like, you have uncle energy so intense that it radiates out from the earth and calls out to other planets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Just drawing a species of the most powerful uncles in the universe straight to us, acting as a mm-hmm. beacon for them.
Like all of your parents' brothers just kind of Katamari into you just to form a new planet.
Speaking through you, a whole lineage crying out at once, I bet you can't.
Yeah. The pull my finger, says the voice from the cosmos. They leave. Marco offers to sell him a fake Rolex. You know, mm-hmm. he knows they're not going to do it. He's just being the shit.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And Jimmy comes in. Marco wants to give him a drink. And Jimmy says, hey, listen, I just got out of jail. I can't stay. Like, Chuck's in the car. I'm moving to Albuquerque.
Yeah.
You know, Chuck got me a job in the mailroom. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it. You know, it's time to fucking grow up.
Like, Marco just blinking here, unable to comprehend.
Yeah.
What it is. Like, you know, Marco and Jimmy's feelings for each other, specifically Marco's feelings for him, very intimate, right?
Yeah.
Like these two were like brothers, Right. Mm-hmm. And brothers not in blood, but just in their, ambitions and skills. Right.
Yeah.
And here he's finding out somebody who he depends on is disappearing.
Yeah. You get the sense that Marco does not have a lot going on and this is going to be borne out.
Really good line.
He says, you just got out of jail and now you want to go right back in, because that's what working under him will be. I love all of the unstated things of Marco knowing Chuck fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Like Chuck's interfaced with him a bunch. Chuck would have no time for Marco. And Marco's like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Marco would see through him immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jamie says, hey, it's time for me to grow up. Like, I wasn't just dead to rights. Like, I was gone. You know, like, I didn't beat this. It was only because Chuck is so good. You know, like, and you should probably grow up too. Right?
Yep. Marco, resist this. You know, you're slipping Jimmy. Why would you change? And Marco says, we need to have one last heist. basically one last big blowout, And Jimmy goes, I promised Chuck. And Marco says, yeah, you made that promise under duress.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't count. But Jimmy holds the line.
Yes.
Here. Marco says, this is like watching Miles Davis give up the trumpet. Just a waste is all I'm saying. Jimmy promises to call. Jimmy does not call. That's where we find this out later. And it makes sense. It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, there's the implication that what do they have other than scams and flams?
Yeah.
And just, he doesn't want to get dragged back into it. Like, if you're quitting drinking, you don't go call your old drinking buddies.
Yeah, it's a temptation, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Sad.
Yes.
But ultimately necessary. Yep. Cut to present day. Kim meets Jimmy in the lobby of the office at HHM right before this meeting where Jimmy's going to hand off all of the Sandpiper documents.
Yep. And Jimmy asks why Kim didn't tell her. And she says, I didn't want you hating your own brother.
Right.
They go up. Howard asks Jimmy how he found out about Chuck. Mm-hmm. And this, refresh people's memories. This is Chuck being the one who said he cannot work on the case with us at HHM. Yeah. We can't hire him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, did Kim tell you? No, I figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And Howard says, finally figured it out. And Howard says, I didn't want it to go this way.
Mm-hmm. He's about to say, after a few months, we would have, and Jimmy stops him. It's like, there's no point going over the counterfactual here.
Yeah.
Jimmy is being very mature here. He says, I'm sorry I called you a pig fucker.
Yeah.
like, hey, all of this, if I knew what I know, I just wouldn't have acted this way to you.
Yeah. He's going to, over the course of the next few seasons, get a mad on for Howard again.
Yeah.
For reasons both justifiable and immature and stupid.
Yes.
In a fun froth.
Mm-hmm.
When he goes, Howard can't get out of this. He goes, I think we owe you some money.
Mm-hmm.
And gives Jimmy his check. And Jimmy hands over a shopping list for Chuck. This is all the things he does for him. And it's gargantuan.
Yeah.
Ice is the hardest part. I usually sneak into hotels, though, and get a garbage bag full.
Yeah. There's this one newsstand across town that gets the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal at 6 a.m., which you're going to want to do because Chuck's an early riser. Like, all of these unreasonable demands that Jimmy acquiesced to because of family, because of blood, right?
Or maybe even volunteered to do.
Yeah.
Not even demands. They're just things that Chuck is, accustomed to, and Chuck's not going to not do these things because Chuck's a raging asshole. Howard is shocked. He's like, you've been doing this every day for a year, getting up at the crack of dawn doing this, and like, my fucking brother. I love this moment of sympathy from Howard of just like, that's how he treats you. Well, that does fucking suck.
Uh-huh.
On just a human level, like, that's no good.
Yeah, shouldn't be that way. And Chuck says, I always liked you, Jimmy. Remember I used to call you Charlie Hustle? Which is funny because Charlie Hustle was the nickname for Pete Rose, a good baseball player for the Cincinnati Reds.
Bad haircut.
Terrible haircut. Famously disgraced for gambling, for betting against his own team.
Yep.
So like, yeah. Oh, you hustle. But there's a second meaning to this. I like that. Yeah,
it's going to come back later as well.
Yeah.
Jimmy gets, his files and he apologizes to Kim for yelling at her.
Yeah.
As he's leaving, they hug. That was nice.
Yeah.
And Kim is pleading with him, like, let it out. You don't have to be stoic about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how this forms the basis of like a lot of their struggle later is, let's say, Jimmy's emotional incontinence.
Yeah.
Or constipation, whichever one is more applicable.
And him, her be saying, you know, let it out, and he can't, you know, he's like, there's nothing to let out. And then immediately going to do something, you know, quotidian, and then it just coming out, you know,
having a break.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Like if you don't let it out, it's going to come out, you know, and it's probably better to control when it does.
Yes. You know, saying, no, my brother's a sick man. Well, that's not an excuse, but he thinks I'm a scumbag and I can't change that.
Yep. Kim says, you know, wow, that is mature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, Dalai Lama's got nothing on me. Smash cut to him trying to go back to doing the elder law, doing wills and stuff. Yeah. He's calling bingo at the retirement home, and he keeps pulling bees, you know, as this happens.
I like this because later we see like how practically they accomplished this in the production with the magnet.
Yeah. Fucking magnets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, magnets.
Yeah.
And this does happen sometimes when you're playing bingo too.
Yeah, yeah. You get these runs. Getting,
yeah.
And because bingo is a terrible game, the person calling it, you know, you gotta do some razzle dazzle with it, right? And you know, just every time he calls a number is like, I-75 right outside of town.
Yeah.
You know? Doing something there, and he can only come up with so many. And because he's pulling so many B's, you know, B is in betrayal. Benedict Arnold betrayed the United States. B as in brother.
Yeah. And it's getting to him.
Uh-huh. I'm just going to say it. About it. If there's another B, we're going to have a real problem here. Everybody's expression of that.
Yeah. I like that. You know, the old people, I like the teen, the prize teen who's sick of this shit. Yeah. B is for Belize, but he's never going there. That is, a little too cute of a Easter egg for me, but I do say after that he goes, let's face it, none of us is ever leaving this godforsaken wasteland. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, and he breaks down.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's like, why am I here? You know, I came here for this job, basically. And this sucks.
I came here for a brother who hated me, and it took me 10 years to figure it out. I'm stranded.
Yep. And he starts explaining what a Chicago sunroof is. He didn't come up with that. There's a guy named Chad who owed him money. And slept with his wife. He drove this BMW with a white leather interior, real douchebag, piece of shit, hair slicked back. Jimmy saw the car outside of Dairy Queen. He had been drinking and he shit in the sunroof. You know, that's the Chicago sunroof. You know, he's not my finest hour. I'll grant you that. I'm not the first person to do it. There's a name for it. But the thing that's tricky, the reason why Chuck has so much leverage over him is that it wasn't Chet's car. The windows were too tinted and there were kids inside.
Yeah.
So the charge would have been indecent exposure and being like a sex predator.
Yeah.
You know, for this, he would have been the sex offender shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no good. It's real hard to come back from something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that is a scarlet letter right there.
Yeah. Marks you for life. And he says, you know, that's where it all went off the rails. He screams, that's why I'm here. Right.
Yep. Losing it. He gets up, he quits, says, you know, everybody take what you want. Kitty cat notebooks for everybody. Fucking out. You know, he's got $20,000. This sucks. Why am I even here? Let's go back to Chicago.
Yeah. Let's go try and, you know, slip back into the old life. Let's go back to the last time it felt right.
Yes.
You know, now that I've had this realization, there's nothing keeping me here. Or so he thinks, right?
So he goes back to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Marco's car is still there, the exact same spot. It has not changed. Yeah. Season of the Witch by Donovan. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Mm-hmm.
Great song.
Fucking great
playing
song.
In the bar.
Yeah.
Really good. Marco is asleep in the bar, which is not like happy behavior.
No.
Daytime sleeping in the bar. There's like three things wrong with that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It is the kind of behavior that like a bartender should not brook because it's a real bummer.
You just do it for real regulars. Like we can't oust Marco. He's got nowhere to go.
You do it for photorealistic norms.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Something in a flesh norm at the foot of the bed.
Yeah. and Jimmy buys him a beer and like wakes him up. Like he takes a straw and like strokes his ear, you know, saying like, oh, Marco, wake up. How can you keep me waiting? Then finally he slaps him, you know?
Yeah.
And Marco can barely see straight. He is scary drunk right now.
Yep. Very drunk.
Yeah. And he can't believe that Jimmy is there.
Yep. He works. He did straighten up. He took Jimmy's advice. Mm-hmm. You know, Jimmy said it's time to grow up, and he did. He works for his brother-in-law's standpipe company, his sister's husband. Mm-hmm. He coughs and pounds his chest. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't look like he's doing thriving or anything, but he's got a uniform on.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a job. I love this scene where they're talking. You know, Marco being like, what about your mom? And it's like, yeah, I know she passed 3 years ago. And I love Marco's going, oh, you know, funeral was probably in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. You know, no, it was here.
It was here. We were just in and out. Me and Chuck were just in and out. I wonder if Chuck had anything to do with him not calling Marco, being like, you know, you can't go back to that.
Yeah, that, you know, the thought didn't occur to me, but absolutely.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah, Chuck is definitely the person who would have stopped that.
Any situation like this, I am always reminded of the great King song, Walter, from Village Green. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but it's basically about this. It's about, you know, going back and meeting a friend, and they're, you know, now they're always in, you know, they're not the same person.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jimmy has turned into Walter. He's gone to Albuquerque and straightened up in a way that feels unbelievable.
Yes. It, yeah, I don't know. As somebody who has lost touch with people that I wish I hadn't lost touch with, these meetings after a long time are always hard.
It's hard. You know, it is really difficult. You want to explain to people, like, I am still very much in favor of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I have friends who I haven't talked to in, like, 10 years.
Right? Yeah.
Who I think about, and I'm just like, I really genuinely hope they're doing well. Every time I think about them, it is fond.
Mm-hmm.
They don't fit into my life at all, though.
Yeah.
It would be weird just to call.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what we talk about.
Yeah. It'd be weird to message out of nowhere and say, hey, I'm thinking about you and I really hope you're doing well.
Yeah. And the times I've done that, it's been fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done that and like people generally have appreciated it, but then it doesn't continue.
No, no.
I go back into the same state of like generally wishing, you know, the guy who played guitar in that band with me, I hope they're doing good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's people get kind of frozen in a state of fondness, like a stasis in your head of just kind of like, aw.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, you know, and you're just like, you know, you like him.
Yeah.
You're generally in favor of him.
Yeah. But yeah, this is hard. This is, you know, like Marco's heartbroken. Like, hey, you didn't call. And there's nothing that can break the awkwardness of this. You know, try a couple of things. Try talking about the car.
Try talking about standpiping, which I love. There's different kinds of standpipes.
It'd be too much to explain to a layman. Yeah. And the only thing that can break this is when a Mark walks in. We get a stereotypical business douche.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Comes in and Jimmy, you know, he says, is that guy regular now? So Jimmy holds out a $50, says, you're buying, I'm selling. And I love Marco's face lighting up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're fucking back, baby.
Yep.
And this is a classic scam.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great show to learn about classic scams and flams.
God, I love scams so fucking much. And I hate that real life scams are so tedious. I hate their real life scams.
And they just target the elderly.
Yep.
Like, there aren't rich douchebags like this in real life getting scammed. And if they are, nothing happens. It's just your grandma.
Yep.
Like, a real life slipping Jimmy would just prey on grandmas.
Yep.
Like, it would just be fucking, what's her head? Carol, you know, from the last season.
Oh, yeah. It would just be Carol.
Carol Burnett. Mm-hmm. So the story here, you know, he makes up the story about the $50 being very valuable. You know, this thing about Kennedy facing towards the past as opposed to facing towards the future.
Yes.
Taking advantage of the fact that this is a rare coin relatively. Mm-hmm. If it's just off the top of your head, you do not remember which way Kennedy faces.
Yeah, you don't, you've never seen many of these. Statistically, you're not going to run into somebody who is really up on their numismatics, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're doing this loud enough for the business guy to hear and he snorts.
Yeah.
You know, this is important. You have to make your mark feel like they're getting one over on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're smart.
Yeah. And Jimmy says, like, hey, this thing is worth $800. It is really valuable, but I'm hard up, so I'm going to take 100 for it right now. And, you know, there's a little bit of business back and forth. And Jimmy says, hey, I've got to go. What does he say? Drain the hose?
Yeah, I got to go drain the snake.
Yeah. He says, like, I'm going to leave you here to think about this. So he goes so Marco can set the ball.
Mm-hmm. He asks the guy if he's being played, the businessman, the business douche. He's like, yeah, definitely. He's like, well, you know, just in case, I got a friend who's a coin dealer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he calls the time and temp line. And he's like, hey man, you know, I'm just calling you up. Is, hey, about this $1.5 thing. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Denver. Exactly. Yep. Okay. Kennedy. All right. And then gets like,
you've done me a big favor. Thank you.
Yeah. Like he's so good at this. Like he changes his posture around it. Like he just kind of turns to face away, like gets more defensive and trying to hide it, but still is like projecting it toward the business guy.
Yep. Yeah. It's very good. And then the Mark says, what was that about? He's like, oh, nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, when Jimmy comes out, Marco immediately goes, hey, I can give you $50 for the coin, or I can give you $100 later. I don't have the cash.
It'd be a couple hours. I got to catch a train.
I got a train and stuff like that. And the Mark goes 110 right now here. And the Mark takes it.
Yep.
Jimmy goes, no, I need the money. Gives it to him. And, you know, hey, money talks. You lost. It's over. He just bought 50 cents for $110. and Marco's like, hey, you asshole, I'm calling the cops. You know, has to pretend mad because they have to pretend like he got scammed.
Screams him out of the bar. And this breaks the seal for a good old fashioned bender.
We get a good montage, I think. Marco and Jimmy doing scams and flams.
And it's that classic. I wish I knew like the classic cinema thing that this is calling back to, like the faces and the neon signs crossing over. Like I know it from The Simpsons, but
it's a movie.
Yeah, but just like they're just rattling off all of these like old scams, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and kind of ends on this chorus of, you know, can you keep a secret? Because I really shouldn't be telling you this, you know, bringing somebody into confidence, you know.
One of the scams is the Nigerian prince scam. And at first I was like, nobody's going to fall for that analog. But when this came out, when this is set,
yes,
maybe that was new enough.
Yeah, it wasn't a punchline as an email scam here. And also, like, he says, like, oh, this guy's from Nigeria. But then he starts pulling details from a Borges story, which is fun. Marco uses a line from Repo Man. Like, this is Peter Gould shit that works, you know?
Yeah. We get out of this. We wake up one morning with a woman yelling at Jimmy, waking him up, saying, you're not Kevin Costner. And he's like, I was last night. This is a reference to Breaking Bad, where he said, well, you have to believe it. At one point, I convinced the woman I was Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Also, this is a crime. this is technically rape by deception.
If you say you're a person, you're not?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it. I didn't know whether this technically counted as that. Like, I'm not saying this is more a moral action, but being like, you know, I'm a... I don't know. I don't look like anybody. But saying I'm famous.
Yeah. Lying to somebody to get them to sleep with you under conditions that they otherwise wouldn't does count as that, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not
trying to cancel Jimmy.
We have to end the show, actually. Yep. We can't really support this.
Later, everybody.
We said a lot of good things.
Yeah. Review season starts next week.
Yay. Yeah. That's a surprise. And Marco is not Kevin Costner's manager.
Yeah,
here. One little detail I really like during this is as the waitresses are leaving, the waitress who slept with Marco is like pretty happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she's into it. She doesn't really want to leave. Like she's like, no, this is good.
You know? He's like, bye. Like, yeah. She likes Marco.
Yeah, Marco's good at sex. You know?
Yeah.
Good job, Marco.
They're in the basement apartment. We saw this. Marco has been living in the same place for 10 years. What I didn't know, and I got like a suspicion about this because I was like, that red pole is familiar in the middle of this. This is the same set that they used for Jesse's basement. This is where Crazy 8 was strangled.
Okay. Yeah. They transformed the set. You know, Jimmy dials his voicemail. You know, here's all the people. He's like, you know, I got to go back. Like, it's all these old people who need his help. You know, there's still a little bit of Jimmy in there. There's still some goodness.
Yeah.
Tells Marco, like, I have to go back, you know, and Marco's like, what do you have to go back out there? You know, you hate it out there. He's like, my clients.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a lawyer, Marco. I'm a practicing lawyer.
Holy crap. Slipping Jimmy's a lawyer.
You know, I have to go back because for my job. You know, Chuck is there as well. Like my brother lives there, you know, and I love Marco, you know, all due respect, Chuck's a douchebag. I hate to break it to you, but he doesn't even like you. You know, he's known it forever.
Yeah. Yeah. But has to acquiesce because their family, overrides a bunch of stuff. Right.
Yep. Marco says, hey, you know, I got one last Rolex, you know, we have to have one last hurrah. we didn't last time.
Yeah.
You know, and I love this. And he goes, well, I can lend you some cash. And then, you know, Marco looks at him, big, wet pug eyes. You know, I don't need the money, Jimmy. I need this, you know? Come on, yeah. You say you're happy doing wills or something? Good for you, but standpipes aren't cutting it for me. I got nothing. You know, give me this, man. I need this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very touching.
What could it cost us to do this?
The fact that the universe conspired to make this like a Tales from the Crypt episode in terms of what it cost him stretches my credulity just a minor amount.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they set it up with him like pounding his chest, but at the same time, it also just feels this guy died to advance Jimmy's character.
Yeah.
It's like he got fridged.
Kind of, yeah.
He got Marco'd. Like when a male character dies, solely to give another male character motivation, you're getting Marco'd.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. So they do one last job. You know? Same one as before.
Yeah. With the Rolex, Marco's waiting in an alley, coughing and hitting his chest and humming Smoke on the Water when he hears the howl.
I love that the howl is a signal as well. That was true the first time, but seeing it from Marco's perspective really underlines it.
Yeah.
It's such a clever scam.
Yeah. Game time. Time to get on the ground, right?
Yep. Jimmy and the Mark find the wallet and they say, whoa, you know, they see Marco lying on the ground. It looks really good. At this point, there's an overhead shot of everyone. Really nice. Yeah. And then Jimmy tries to wake him up as per the bit, but Marco doesn't move.
Yeah. You know, he gets down and starts saying his name. And the Mark is like, wait a minute, you know this guy? And then just runs off. You know, he's got this wallet with $1,000 in it.
Jimmy's screaming, you know, call 911. Mm-hmm. You know? And Jimmy ends up calling. And Marco kind of comes to be awake for just one last moment. You know? It's really sad.
Yeah. Jimmy, I screwed up. But you know what? This was the greatest week of my life. And then and then he dies. You know, Jimmy tries CPR. Horrible situation.
Some people only have scumbaggery and they can't have anything more.
Yeah.
Is the invasion. If you're a Marco, you cannot straighten up.
It's over. It's so fucking over, Marco.
It's basically over for you. You can do scams until you die at 40 and that's it.
Yep.
That is the fate of a Marco for this.
You are destined for nothing more.
Yeah. Weird little bit here that I really love is at the funeral, Jimmy's staying outside the church with this weird random scumbag.
Yep.
This guy has the most like Tim and Eric like energy, like a Hips Brugelo or whatever.
Bruce yeah. Hiplo. Just like a vaguely intimidating guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird old guy.
Yeah. This guy was just out of frame in the houses that Frank Booth takes Colin McLaughlin to.
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
Yeah. You know, bombs of Smoke, and you know, Bud points out the pinky ring. You know, Jimmy has it on. You know, Marco's mom gave it to him, figured I'd wear it for today, but I don't know, I'm not a big ring guy.
Yeah. Eventually it'll start telling him to trust Walter White.
Yep.
He's standing around outside the funeral and Kim calls him. You know. He says, is this Ferris Bueller? I don't understand that.
Oh, he disappeared. He took a big day off.
I guess he did take a day off.
Yeah.
I didn't really think of, I guess.
No, she even asked, like, how's your big day off going?
Yeah, I guess, He's been gone for a week. He's in another state. It just felt a little stretched to me.
But, you know, she asked, like, whatever you had, is it out of your system? You know, just because I've got news for you. If you're coming back, the Sandpiper case got way too big for HHM. They're bringing in a partner firm, Davis and Maine, and they're going to need support. You can still have this case. There's a line on a partner track position with your name on it.
Yeah, they want to meet you and maybe do that. And get this, you get to meet Ed Begley Jr. And as somebody who's a fan of movies, I bet you this is huge for Jimmy.
Oh my God, you get to meet Ed Begley Jr.? He gets to tell you what to do?
Yeah.
I would trust Ed Begley Jr. Come on.
He seems really trustworthy.
Yeah.
You know, he says, oh, Chuck's not going to like that. And Kim says, Chuck doesn't get a say. You know, this isn't a thing. And Jimmy, you know, is kind of self-deprecating about this. You know, why me? Like, is this some kind of tax write-off? Is this like a make-a-wish?
Yeah.
And Kim says, your clients ask about you every day.
Yeah.
Like, you are really good at these people. You have the connections to make this case work.
Yeah.
Like, you are desirable.
it is true. You have a skill. There is something innate about you that can be, you know, used, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, he thanks her and she says, you know, I didn't have to do too much. Howard was pushing, you know, as well. Like, we're all rooting for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Come home.
Mm-hmm. They have a meeting set up Thursday at 11.
Yeah. Just to remind you that Chuck is the worst person on earth. He's giving instructions and criticisms to Ernesto. The opening line is, well, you got almost everything right.
But
go fuck yourself, Chuck.
Take what you get, you asshole.
I react to Chuck the same way the dogs react to the thing in the thing. Like, my body is just like, Chuck.
Imagine being in a room with Ernesto and being anything but cordial.
Yeah. One must imagine a Chuck. Because a Chuck could not exist.
A Chuck does not occur naturally.
No, there are no right Chucks in nature.
He got the wrong apples. I find the Granny Smiths to be a little tart for my taste. It's not a major issue, but.
And it's like, yes, green apples. Is Ernesto insane? Those are cooking apples, not eating apples. Right. At the same time, he's doing like a whole day's worth of work before 6 a.m. so you can get your fucking newspapers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, go fuck yourself, Chuck.
You say,
the least grateful person in the world.
Yeah. Next time, if they're there, can you get me Fuji's, please? Thanks. Yeah. But like, it's not, you're not prepping somebody for an exam.
No. You know, it's a slave. You know, he says, you know, you can write this down if you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, no, you want me to write this down? Yeah. Yeah. He's infuriating.
Yeah.
Outside, Ernesto comes out and he sees Jimmy's parked there. He's mm-hmm. really happy to see him. They're friends from the mailroom. You know? Mm-hmm. Chuck looks out and sees Jimmy's car and is about to open the door when Jimmy pulls away. I like Jimmy and Chuck, you know, talking. He's just like, you know, hey man, how's it going? Like it's a real throwaway interaction, but it felt lived in good.
You mean Ernie and Chuck?
Yeah, Ernie
and Jimmy. There we go.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, no, we're buddies from the mailroom, you know.
Yeah,
further on.
Yeah, I get work buddies.
Yeah, and Jimmy just kind of popped by. Like, I think maybe he was there just to check on Chuck and see that things were being done. But when he saw Ernie, he was like, okay, well, you know,
yeah,
I don't need to do this.
And also, just kind of look at the house wistfully.
Yeah,
you know, he's still hurting about it. Like mm-hmm. he's not over it. So like, you know, good that it's getting done, but I'm not going to talk to Chuck. He pulls away before Chuck can. You know, make his half-assed apology and criticize what apples he picked out. You're sure you don't want to start getting this new guy's working out not so well with me in terms of apples? Like, are you sure I can't get you back?
Mm-hmm. You know? Jimmy has to get to a meeting. He goes to the courthouse for his introductory meeting with Davis and Maine. And he's walking toward the entrance when he stops and starts twisting his pinky ring. This is another shot that they echo quite a bit throughout mm-hmm. the series. Like somebody standing right at the edge of the frame, kind of like looking right at the border, with them, you know, mostly on the right side. Usually they do this when, you know, a person is making a choice, like looking at a feature that you literally can't see.
Yeah. And Jimmy pulls around. You know, Mike says, hey, that was quick, no charge. And he says what this thing that's been burning him up, mm-hmm. you know, tell me something. Did I dream it? Or did I have $1,600,000 mm-hmm. On my desk in cash?
Yeah. Yeah. Like we could have taken it. We could have split it 50-50.
Yeah. $800,000 for each mm-hmm. of us.
Yeah.
You know, and Jimmy goes, you know, what stopped us like for that?
Yeah. And Mike says, you know, I remember you saying something about doing the right thing. And yep. Jimmy's like, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. What was I thinking? Mike says, you know, do you want to know why I didn't do it?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't do it. It's a very Mike sentence, you know.
Yeah.
I was paid to do a job and I did it. That's as far as it goes.
Yeah. Revealing you know, the different ethoses here, right?
Yes.
And Jimmy says something that promises a very different second season than we got, saying, yes. Yeah, well, I know what stopped me. And you know what? It's never stopping me again.
And then he drives off to play footsie with Davis and Maine for 2 seasons.
Yep.
Like basically like where does Jimmy work becomes a running subplot for a couple seasons as they decide to slow it down a bit.
Yeah.
That sounds really critical. You know, there's lots of good stuff in seasons 2 and 3, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Great stuff. But it does. We're going to spend a lot of time.
Yeah.
With where Jimmy works.
Yeah. With his professional dissatisfaction, why he, you know, can only be a TV lawyer. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Like he can't do the small time scams. He also can't do just regular lawyer stuff. He has to be Saul.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing that fits.
Yeah. So he drives off humming Smoke on the Water, and that's the credits song.
Yeah. Good episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good finale. A little bit anticlimactic. And again, Marco, a little bit of a plot device more than a character, but again, yeah. It works on me because it's sweet.
It's a good performance and it's very sweet. And I don't know, like we're here for history on Saul, on Jimmy, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
We get some of it and I don't know, it's affecting. Very abrupt, I think is my biggest thing about it, I don't know, them speeding to a stop with the last three episodes of the season, making it about Jimmy and Chuck, mm-hmm. and their, you know, just kind of how awful their relationship has been the whole time, is strange.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we're going to get more of it, and it's going to get more time to actually develop. Right.
Yeah. It need time for me, like that, you know, the early parts of Better Call Saul are everything getting a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's good. That's a strength. Some of the things I am certainly more interested than others,
mm-hmm.
you know, but everything's going to luxuriate. It is a much slower paced show,
mm-hmm.
You know, and most of the time it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
We announced this last time, but we're announcing it again now.
Yes.
This show is going to move to weekly.
Yeah. Episodes have been getting shorter as we, you know, talk about stuff that is more similar to previous stuff. And going also, weekly.
I will say also fewer things happen in Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Less plot happens in each episode. Like mm-hmm. it's not bad or anything. It's all great stuff, but that luxuriation means in terms of kind of recapping it, there's a little less airtime.
Yes. So going weekly, starting with season two, next episode is going to be the DVD special features and reading your responses. People have been writing in.
Nice.
So we have a few of those responses here. It's definitely too late to write in by the time you're hearing this, but I will have put out a call for people to respond to things, you know, shortly before we record season one wrap up.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Thanks everybody for listening during the season.
Mm-hmm.
We like you. If you like us, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Help us out. Keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. You can also leave us range reviews on Apple Podcast or Podcast Addict.
Yeah. And join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Big thanks to Gwen.
Who also composed our theme song for this.
Yeah. And we'll see you next time. We're no sign off on this thing.
Nope.
Don't do everything that Jimmy does.
Yeah, exactly. We endorse all of his actions.